Turn to Psalm 115. Psalm 115. And I want to read one verse this evening to get started. Now, I want to preach tonight upon the subject, the blessings of God. Just simply that, the blessings of God. Psalm 115 and verse number 15. Psalm 115, verse number 15. I'm going to read this verse, and I will go ahead and take the liberty to read another verse that's a companion verse to the one that I'm going to read. Preaching this evening on the subject, the blessings of God. Psalm 115, verse 15 says, "Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth." Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I always encourage every Bible student to read carefully and to see all the connecting dots as much as possible in any one given verse. It's one thing to be blessed of the Lord, but there's something else to be said about the fact that we're blessed of the Lord which made heaven and earth. In other words, there is a connection there that needs to be made. In other words, we're blessed of the Lord by the Creator. And to be blessed of the Lord, who is the Creator, there's an added dimension to the blessings of God. Now, in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 10 and verse 22, the Bible says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." So in the one verse, we see that we're blessed by the Creator, and then in the next verse, we see that the blessings of God makes a person rich. I want us to bow for prayer tonight. Our Father, we give you thanks this evening for another gospel preaching service, and thank you, Lord, for the good music tonight and for the reminder this evening in the music of great prophetic truths that we know will unfold one day upon this earth. Our Father, just as certain as your Son came to this earth on schedule the first time, he's coming back again. In every verse pertaining to prophecy will meet fulfillment. Now, Father, bless us now as we rally around the Word of God again this evening and help us to recognize the uniqueness of the blessings of God. I pray now your blessing upon the preaching of your Word in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin tonight by saying that the blessings of God are nothing to be taken for granted. We do not take for granted the blessings of God. The fact of God's blessings is abundantly clear. He, in fact, blesses all people, whether they're saved or unsaved, and that statement should not be a surprise. God even blesses unsaved people. Have you ever looked at that? That is the truth. God blesses every person, even the unsaved person. Now, I know that this evening, this congregation understands how that can be true. The blessing of having life, the blessing of having an opportunity, the blessing, just simply everyday, day-by-day blessings are blessings that God provides. And unsaved people reap those as well. So the blessings of God are upon every person. Now, the gift of physical life is an example of a blessing. The gift of physical life. Look at the physical amenities enjoyed by everyone. Our privileges are a blessing. Our backgrounds are a blessing, whether rich or poor. I look at my own background, my childhood days, and I've alluded to my testimony time and time again. But I'm thankful to God tonight for my background. I'm glad for the poverty that our family had when I was a kid, because it taught me valuable lessons. I believe that we can be thankful for our backgrounds. That's a blessing from the Lord. The blessings enjoyed, though, by the unsaved are inferior blessings when compared to blessings of eternal value. You see, when it comes to the blessings that we're talking about tonight, there are some blessings we could say are in the category of the physical, blessings that really do not carry over into eternity. But blessings that have the hallmark of eternal value are the blessings that are more important than anything else. Anything else. Those who have had their spiritual eyes open by the saving grace of God understand the blessings of God which have the greatest value. I believe Christians have the ability to recognize the blessings that mean the most. We have discernment. We're able to actually see what really matters. We're able to see what really counts. We have discernment and can see what means the most in the eyes of God. Spiritual blessings. Now, I think of blessings in the Bible mentioned. I think of the Old Testament blessings concept compared to the New Testament blessings concept. Now, in the Old Testament, I think of a person by the name of Job, who was blessed both physically and Job was blessed spiritually. Job had all kinds of cattle. Job had all kinds of herds. Job had all the land. Job had all his big family and so forth. But Job, on the top of that, also was a spiritual person. He had physical blessings. He had all of his massive herds of cattle and all of his riches. Job was a rich man. So you see, physically, Job was blessed. But Job was also blessed spiritually. He was a man that had a character, that had the right demeanor. He was a man that proved in the end that he was a righteous person. I think of the Old Testament concept of blessings. I think of the New Testament concept of blessings. I particularly think of the Beatitudes found in Matthew chapter 5, where the Bible says, "Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Or blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. I would say that that's a blessing of a higher sort. I would say that's a spiritual blessing. When a person hungers and thirsts after righteousness, that person has a higher spiritual blessing, because that indicates that God is at work in that person's life. Let me give you a fourfold outline of my message tonight. Number one, let's consider the particular arrangement of God's blessings. The particular arrangement of God's blessings. Again now, stay with me on the verse. "Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth." Consider the particular arrangement of God's blessings. I'm saying this evening that some of God's blessings, some of the blessings, are obviously arranged in a higher order, for some of God's blessings carry greater value. You know that? Some of God's blessings carry greater value. I'll give you an example. It's a wonderful thing to have physical health, but it's a better thing to have spiritual health. It's a wonderful thing to live a long life on this earth, but it's a much better thing to live in heaven. So you know, the blessings, some blessings that God gives carry a higher value than other blessings. The greatest blessings of God are enjoyed by His very own people. Christians are privileged to tap in on the higher level of God's blessings. Now, I'll illustrate it like this. It's like Christmas time. And you know this happens every year. Let's imagine you have a large family gathering on Christmas morning. Let's imagine that in that gathering, you have a friend that comes in. You have a distant relative that comes in. And when they come in to celebrate Christmas with you, you're going to want to give them a gift. You're going to want to share something with them. I mean, when people start opening the gifts on Christmas morning, if a guest is in your home on Christmas Day, you want to accommodate their visit, and so you will see to it that they also receive a gift. But now, think about this, though. When the people begin opening gifts on that day, I suspicion that the immediate family members will have the greatest gifts. The immediate family members will have the most gifts. I mean, my goodness, I can remember years ago back when Carol's sisters, all of us, would go down, including her mom and dad, we would go down to We usually would spend Christmas Eve with her sister that lives in Burlington, and then they'd stay up all night long, usually on Christmas Eve night. And then Christmas morning at a certain time, then everyone would start opening the gifts. And all the little spoiled brats, kids, started first. Sometimes it seemed like it's about 1 o'clock in the day before the kids, we just got so tired, we just said, that's nice, that's nice. And have to go through the litany of all that. It became boring. I mean, no wonder all the kids in our families were spoiled, turned out a bunch of brats too. I mean, it's just like they gave them half of the world. And I remember one Christmas, we had a guy that came in, he was visiting, he was a missionary, and he was with us, and I think, they gave this guy a gift, they appreciated him being there, but he got one gift, and the kids had their 30 and 40. You know, that's a little humor, yes it is, but there's a spiritual truth there. When it comes to the blessings that people enjoy, I see the unsaved people, yeah, they get at least one gift under the tree. I see people that, that aren't necessarily the people of God, but they're still blessed. But oh, the Lord, doesn't He pour out His blessings upon His people, though? Upon His kids. I mean, they never, it seems like, get all their gifts open. You see, that's the point I'm making tonight. God's blessings. The Lord blesses His own. God bestows blessing after blessing upon His own. I'm saying tonight that there is a particular arrangement of God's blessings. A particular arrangement. God's children are given the most expensive gifts. The most expensive gifts. You say, explain that. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's called a gift. The gift of God. That's the most expensive gift. Now consider the high arrangement order of the blessings enjoyed by those in God's family through saving grace. Consider some of these blessings. Christians tonight, you and I need to consider these blessings. We need to not forget them. We need to inventory them. We need to look at the blessings and not take them for granted. Could I suggest a few that sometimes I'm afraid we take for granted? Number one, obedience to the will of God is a blessing itself. Obedience to the will of God. That's a blessing itself. Have you ever looked at it like that? The privilege of obeying God is a blessing. It's a blessing to be able to obey the Lord. You see, the Christian is no longer a rebel. We're no longer a fugitive. Peace with God makes life go so much better. I remember when I used to run from God, I was a fugitive from God, and I did not obey the Lord. I did my own thing. But when God saved me, He stamped me with a mark of ownership, which is true of every Christian. The sheer ability to obey the Lord is a blessing. To be able to follow the Lord. That's a blessing in itself. Never take that for granted. It takes God's grace to make us obedient. And that's a blessing. Ye are blessed of the Lord. Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. So you see, one of the blessings is the blessing of obedience to the will of God. Number 2, the gift of the beloved Savior is a blessing. The gift of the beloved Savior. We do not take it for granted when we can say, I am my beloved's and He is mine. The beloved Savior. The Bible says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. He is an unspeakable gift. We can never say too much about Him. We find ourselves breathless when we try to explain Him. We cannot totally say what's in our heart, the thrill, the joy of this unspeakable gift. The Savior is an unspeakable gift. That's a blessing. To think that we have the Savior. To say, I am His. He is mine. My, what a blessing. Please do not take that for granted. Then number three, the blessing of a clear, enlightened mind with discernment in spiritual matters is a blessing. A clear, enlightened mind with discernment in spiritual matters. That's a blessing. It is a blessing to be able to see, to be able to understand, to be able to discern. It is a blessing to be able to cut to the thick or cut to the chase. It is a blessing to be able to open the Bible and to love it and to appreciate it and to understand it. That's a blessing. It is a blessing to be able to discern. There was a time in our lives before we met the Master. We were just a bunch of dummies. Dumb as a gourd. Couldn't understand anything spiritually because we had not the spirit of discernment. We had not the Holy Spirit within that gave us the ability to comprehend, to understand, to appreciate the things of God. There's one thing about the Holy Spirit. When He comes in a person's life, He gives us a love for the Bible and an appreciation of the truth, and our eyes are open. I get to study the Bible from time to time, and I tell you, I get to reading a verse like I was mentioning this morning, and I get to thinking about truths that the Lord lets me understand. And by the way, now, let me make something clear here. God doesn't give people new revelations because the Bible is the only revelation that we have. But God does give people a better understanding and an insight to Scripture as time goes on, as we read it more. When people come up to you and tell you, God told me something, beware of that. A person told me recently that they saw God, and God came through, they saw God. No, we couldn't see God and live. So we've got to be careful there. But here's what I am saying. Christians have the Holy Spirit. We're able to understand the Bible. Here's a good verse. We're told, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. 1 John 2:20. Ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. That verse is not saying that we're a bunch of know-it-alls. That verse is not saying that we are, all of us are just walking Jack Van Ippies or walking Bibles. By the way, some people, they think they know it all, don't they? Have you ever been around people that think they know it all? I can't tell you the amount of people that I know. If you get involved in the conversation, and here's a subtle way you can tell when people are a little bit head heavy. A lot of people just like to hear themselves talk. If a person keeps having to toot their horn, there's an insecurity beneath the surface somewhere. That's a fact. When people have to keep tooting their horn, pulling out, telling you their credentials, talking about their background, there's something suspicious about that. I know people, so do you. You get around them, you get in a conversation. Let's say you have an hour conversation with them. Have you ever known people, if you're fortunate to get 10 minutes of that hour in, you're lucky? 50 of it is that one person leading everything. You ask some people a question, and an hour later they're still giving you the answer. And they're usually framing it the way that it's going to make them look good. That's human nature. That's not good, though. Some people give the impression they think they know it all. You see, we all of us would be better off to do more listening and less talking. I have preacher friends. They're nothing but motor mouths. You can't get a word in edgeways. And I find that annoying. Good conversation is back and forth, back and forth. I ask a question, that person answers, they ask a question. In other words, back and forth, picking each other's brain. But some people think they already know it all. It's not good. But the Bible says you have an unction from the Holy One. That's the Holy Spirit. And you know all things. But now, don't let the word all throw you. Basically, the whole thought there is we have discernment where we can know. We can know the things that matter. We can discern. We have the mind of Christ. We can understand Scripture. The Holy Spirit opens up the Bible, makes it come alive. And that's a blessing. That is a blessing to have our spiritual understanding open to where we can understand the things of God. I can't tell you the many times as I've read portions of Scripture and studied them over and over again, how in the context of studying the Scripture, a thought comes to my mind of how that thought or that verse compares to another verse. And that you just have an appreciation for the privilege of being able to learn, to understand. It's a blessing to be able to appreciate and understand the Bible. You see, the Bible says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." And understand, since God has exalted His Word above His own name, then we need to put major emphasis upon the Bible. Of all that we do in a church, there's nothing any more important than God's Word. That's more important than singing. Because God has put the emphasis upon His Word. I do not want to strip the service of all that we do. But let's always keep the emphasis upon what God puts the emphasis upon. The Bible. The Word of God. So, it is a blessing to know. Then I think of another blessing that we have. The blessing of a resurrection to newness of life in a heavenly seat. We already have a heavenly seat. We have already, Christian, been resurrected. Did you hear me? We have already been resurrected. Explain that, preacher. I'm glad you want me to. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1. Verse number 1. "You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin." You hath He quickened. The word quickened means to be made alive. That's spiritual resurrection. Paul said, you've been made alive. You were dead, but you've been made alive. You've been made alive. That's a blessing. Heavenly seat. All right, here it is. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. It says, "Even when we were dead." Now listen, "when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." That's Ephesians 2, 5, and 6. We've been raised up together and sit together in heavenly places. We have a seating already tonight in glory. We're seated in heavenly places. We don't have to have a seat reserved. We already have the seat. We don't have to await to be seated. We're already seated. I've gone to places before, important type deals, to where, let's say there's a banquet, and you have to be seated. You're ushered in, and you have to be seated by some official. Well, we don't have to be seated by some official because we already have a seating. While we're on this earth, we're already seated in heaven. Now, I know that's hard for all of us to understand, including me. But that's simply talking about the fact that we have a spiritual standing. And here's how I see that. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. We're told in another passage of Scripture, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." We died when Christ died, Christian. We arose when Christ arose. We're represented in Him tonight. as he sits at the right hand of God the Father, his bride, God's people, are seated in him. We are in him. So as he's seated, so are we seated. As he has himself at God the Father's right hand, we are securely seated, represented in him. The only way that we could ever lose that seating would be for our Savior to lose his seating. We are secure tonight as Jesus Christ is secure. Our hope for heaven is just as secure tonight as if we were already there. The only thing we need to do is change geographical locations. That's all. Our hope for heaven is as good as if we were already there, because we're in him. Just a matter of time, of course, that the physical body will be resurrected, and we will have a new and glorified body in his presence. But when a child of God dies, this side of the rapture, their spirit, their soul, immediately is taken up to glory, because the Bible, time and time again, proves that absent from the body, present with the Lord, you see. So we believe that. And I'm saying all that tonight simply to say this, that is a blessing. That is a blessing. The blessing of a resurrection to newness of life in a heavenly seat. I'm going to show you something else that's a blessing that we take for granted. It's a blessing to be a God-fearer. Let me show you that. All right, same Psalm, verse 13. Verse 13. It's a blessing to be a God-fearer. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. A God-fearer. Now I want to point out what fear is. This is not some kind of a slavish fear like a child has of being beaten by a cruel dad. This is not the kind of a fear like fearing being whipped or fearing being beaten. This is what we know to be a reverential fear. This is a fear that's coupled with trust. It's a fear that's coupled with love. It's a fear that's coupled with worship, that's coupled with respect, that's coupled with love. That's the kind of fear tonight that we have. The attitude of the saved is we fear the Lord. But our fear is of a different sort. It's not, listen to me, it's almost like that illustration I've used time and time again. This teenage girl that went out with a bunch of her friends, and her friends got rowdy, and they told her to come and do some of the things that she knew that her parents were against her doing. And someone... she said, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. And her friend said, why, are you afraid of your father hurting you? And she said, no, I'm afraid of hurting my father. And that's the point we're making tonight. You see, that's what the fear is that we have. We love the Lord. It's a reverence. It's a trust. That is a blessing. That's a blessing. It's a blessing to fear the Lord. I remember a time I didn't fear him, don't you? I remember a time I didn't respect him. I remember a time that I had no love, respect, interest at all in God or anything about God. There was a time in my life I ran as fast as my legs would take me, right, heading right straight to hell. I was a rebellious person. I didn't fear the Lord. But when God saved me, then I fell in love with the Lord. And I fear him. And that's a blessing. It's a blessing to say, I fear the Lord, because I know that God's done something. That's a blessing. Bible says in Psalm 112, verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. I'm talking about a fear that's coupled with delighting in God's commandments. Again, I'm saying it's a reverential fear. That's a blessing from the Lord. There's another blessing, and that's this. The blessing of an acceptance in the person of God's Son. Of acceptance in the person of God's Son. That's a blessing. I've already touched on that. But Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Ephesians 1:6. Acceptance in the beloved. Hey, I've been accepted in the beloved, haven't you? Accepted in the Beloved. My, what an acceptance. I'm more thankful tonight for His acceptance grace than any of my acceptance speeches. I'm more thrilled tonight in His acceptance grace. Accepted in the Beloved. That is a blessing. God has accepted us. We're at home in Him. My, that's a blessing. Some of you, you look like you wonder if it is. You know, I think sometimes God's people need to bring a mirror to church with them. And every now and then when the preacher's preaching, the preacher ought to say, take your mirror out, look at your face. Now, some people look like it's a miserable journey. Forget it. I didn't say it. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you and I have been blessed. The arrangement of the blessings. God puts them in an arrangement. These things that have eternal value mean far more than anything else. But now let's look. Secondly, I had 4 points. I'll give you 2 tonight. How's that? I could give you all 4 because I gave you 12 this morning and only preached 20 minutes. So I really got, I got a little surplus time wanting to use it, but I won't. I think of the particular arrangement of God's blessing. Number 2, and here's where we get right to the heart of this text. I think of the particular author of the blessings. The particular author. The Bible says, which made heaven and earth. The blessing is more to be prized because it is the Father's blessing. I think the Old Testament teachings, when it comes to the matter of paternal blessings, and particularly Jacob, comes to mind. You know, in the Old Testament, what about paternal blessings? What I'm saying tonight is God's people are blessed by the Father. We have, well, in a sense, paternal blessings. To the Jew, paternal blessings mean everything. What about when Jacob called his 12 sons before him on his deathbed? And Jacob began to bless them. He called their names Reuben and Joseph and Simeon, right on down the line. The Father's blessings meant something. We have the Father's blessings. But you know what, though? Our Father is a unique Father. Our Father is a special Father. Our Father is a Creator Father. Because the verse says, ye are blessed of the Lord which made heaven and earth. Our blessing comes from God the Father. And that makes it very special. Let me illustrate it this way. We all know the importance of modern day significance of recognition by powerful, by popular, and by rich people. That's a part of our culture, isn't it? Powerful, rich, popular people. It means something many times for the average person to be recognized by a powerful person. How important is it? Here's my question. How important is it to have your picture taken with a politician? How important is it to have your picture taken with a president? How important is it to have your picture taken with a movie star? You know, most people merit that as pretty important. What about having the signature of an author? What about the handshake from somebody that's very, very important? You see, we value blessings from important people. That's built into human nature. Built into human nature. I have a letter in my office that was written to me by President Reagan, which I treasure because I loved and respected that president. And that letter means a lot to me. Carol and her sister have had their picture one time taken with Debbie Reynolds. That means something to Carol and her sister. I'm just illustrating a point here. So Sometimes people look at a preacher like, what in the world are you trying to say there? You know, it's almost like, are you that unspiritual? No, this is human nature. I'm talking where the rubber hits the road here. Every person in this service tonight, you pay attention to important people, if you'll admit it. I remember years ago, y'all remember this. I preached the funeral. I was part of preaching the funeral for Brother Hill Robertson. And you all remember that Randy Travis was Hill Robertson's son-in-law. And Randy Travis showed up in the church. Y'all remember that? He came up. He sang from this very pulpit right here, Amazing Grace. I can still remember that. You remember that, y'all that came? And he wrote the words out of the song, Amazing Grace. He made the mistake of leaving the copy of his handwritten words on this pulpit, and guess who grabbed them? I know one person that drove over here that could care less about the family. They came because they wanted to hear Randy Travis. I'm not talking about a church member. But don't tell me that people do not value popular, powerful people's recognition. I mean, we could sit in church and deny it, but we're lying. We're human. But do you realize tonight that we have the blessings of the most powerful, most important person of all, and I'm talking about an Almighty God? You see, we have the blessings of a Father of unlimited power. I wish I had time to develop this, but it says, which made heaven and earth. He brought light out of darkness. He brought order out of chaos. Consider how He brings light into a darkened soul. Consider how He brings order into a life made turbulent by sin. When I consider His might of creation, I'm convinced that nothing stands in the way in caring for the crown of His creation. When the Bible says we are blessed by the Lord which made heaven and earth, that tells me something. That tells me that since God is blessing me, and since He is a creator of heaven and earth, that tells me that since He keeps the heavens and the earth in order, that tells me He's especially going to keep His hand upon my life. If He's going to keep His hand upon creation, He's going to really keep it on me. He's so powerful. He keeps His hand upon the movement and the motion of all the stars that He spoke into existence. He keeps His hand upon the rotation of this earth that we're on. He keeps His hand upon the revolution of this earth around our sun in our solar system. He keeps His hand upon the galaxies. He keeps His hand upon potential falling stars or asteroids or whatever it could be that could collide against this earth. He keeps it on pattern. He keeps us safe as a planet. He turns on the thermometer with the sun and gives us a certain amount of heat that we need. And He knows when to cut the thermometer down. He knows how much heat this earth needs. He knows how much light we need. He blesses us with the seasons, the four seasons of the year. He gives us, when springtime arrives, such a thrill in our soul as we can see life coming up. We can see creation. We can see flowers beginning to bloom. And He thrills our hearts. Then He gives the vegetation, the vegetables that we enjoy. He touches them. We may fertilize them, but it's God that makes them grow. And He causes those delicious vegetables that we enjoy, those luscious tomatoes, to become ripened, that we can slap between two pieces of bread. And in my case, I don't want to eat it just by itself. I throw a little piece of ham on there. I love a tomato sandwich, but I have to dike it up a little bit. But anyway, I'm telling you that since God controls and directs physical creation, that tells me, since I'm blessed by God the Creator, that tells me He's really going to pay close attention to me. Because if He pays close attention to the physical universe, you know He's going to pay close attention to the object of his creation that he invested more care and more love in and more sacrifice in than anything else. God invested in the salvation of one sinner more resources, more valuable resources than God invested in all of physical creation put together. God could say, let there be light. There was light. God could speak the stars into space. God could speak and things would result. But when it comes time for God to save a sinner, God had to send his precious son to this earth. He had to bear our sins in his body on the tree. He had to die as our substitute. God put far more. It cost the death of his precious son to save a sinner. I say tonight that one sinner has more value in the eyes of God than all of creation put together. And if you question that statement, you consider the fact that his son died not for physical creation. His son died for humans. And that tells me tonight that since I'm blessed by the Creator, and since he's done such a good job with creation and takes care of creation, then he's really going to take care of me. And that causes me to jump up and click my heels together, because I realize I am really blessed if I'm blessed by the Creator, because if he loves creation, he really loves the one that his son died for. Shall we bow in prayer?